Hello there. Welcome to my almost midlife crisis. I'm your host, Jennifer Mathis. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Although I feel like a lot of my listeners tend to be women, but if you know a dad in your life, pass it on for me. Today, in honor of Father's Day, which yes, was yesterday, we'll be talking about millennial dads and how they're kind of different than previous generations. So if you're curious as to how fatherhood has evolved, then this one's for you. Happy Father's Day, everybody. Now that the U.S. is opening back up after a very long shutdown and pandemic, my hope is that you were able to celebrate in person this year with the dads in your life. And maybe that was your own father, especially if you haven't seen them for a long time, or maybe that's your husband, or maybe it's even, you know what, those dog dads, because you can't discount the dog dads. That's also a very important job, and I personally very much appreciate the dog dad in my life. But unfortunately, I will say I was not unable to see my father for Father's Day because he lives in Seattle and I'm in Chicago. And let's face it, I am now, you know, less than 30 days away from a wedding and it's really hard for me to travel right now. And I cannot wait to see him when he comes. And in fact, I was like, Dad, I cannot like see you for the first time when you come into town at the rehearsal. Like I am going to get really emotional because it's been a very long time since I've seen you. So we're going to have to like figure out a time to meet up prior because like, that's not going to work. So I'm very excited to see him then, but I wasn't able to do it in person on Father's Day. And you know what? That's probably the hardest part about having parents that live out of state because you can't just like pop over. You can't just like go over and hang out and have a barbecue, right? And honestly, my dad and I have lived in different states since I went to college. So since I was like 17 years old. And which was a while ago, if you're doing the math. So we have our own way of connecting. We've kind of figured it out, but it's still hard. Like, I'm not gonna lie, it's still hard on days like Father's Day when you really wish that you could be in the same place. But anyway, today's episode is about how fatherhood and parental duties are changing. And the millennial dads are starting to step the F up, really, compared to previous generations. And hallelujah for that. Can I get an amen? I mean, I have always said it takes two to make a baby and it takes two to raise one. Like you help make the baby, you help raise baby. Now, in saying that, I want to give a quick shout out to all of those single parents out there because that struggle is real and we see you and we celebrate you. And honestly, I have no idea how you do it. You amaze me. So let's dive in and talk about how our male counterparts compare to previous generations. So according to a Pew Research study, 97% of fathers now do diaper changes, as opposed to 1982, when more than 40% of dads said they had never changed a diaper. So can we just talk about that for a second? I mean, 97%, great. Like that is where that number should be. It should be 100%. But you know what? There's probably a couple of those lazy asses that doesn't want to do it. 97%, like I'll take it. But can we talk about the 40% of dads in 1982 that at one point said they had never, never changed a damn diaper? Like, shame on you. Are you serious? How is that even possible? Do you know how many times babies need a diaper changed? Like, isn't it like literally double digit in how many times in a day they need a diaper? Like, from what I hear from my mother friends, it is like every hour or two when they're babies. And you're telling me that at no point during that were you like, honey, you know what? I got this one. Never. I mean, no wonder why the divorce rate is so high from like the 80s and 90s. Like, Jesus, that's just embarrassing for you. Also, spending time with family has become more of a priority, which thank goodness for that, and has almost four times as many fathers now as in the 90s take paternity leave after the birth of the child. And to be fair, I'm sure there were plenty of dads that wish they could take paternity leave earlier. But I feel like in the US, definitely not in Europe, because we are way behind in this area, But I'm, you know, a lot of companies in the US really never offer paternity leave. So I'm sure it was really difficult to do for them in the past. And now companies are starting to actually offer it. And so kudos to the dads for taking it and supporting the mothers, especially at that like critical beginning. So like, good job for that. Amazing. Hopefully as that trend continues with companies, we see more and more dads taking paternity leave. The number of dads who continue to stay at home to care for children has increased by 70% since 1989. Stay at home care. Like, there you go. Hell yes to the stay at home dad. Love it. Love that look. Okay. And now I will say, when I read this stat, I am curious on this data point as to like, what's the starting number? What is that starting number to generate such a large percentage increase? Because if the old number was like 1% of men were stay-at-home dads, which honestly, I would be surprised if it was that high. Like, if we're looking back into the 80s or 90s, like, I really don't think, considering the lack of women in the workforce full-time, like, it probably was even lower than 1%. But let's say it was 1% for sake of argument. A 70% increase is only 1.7%. So, you know, like, let's not start throwing a massive party and getting our panties in a bunch on this yet, right? Because that's still a very low percentage. But, you know, movement is movement, and we should celebrate that. I will say, in the guy's defense, it is 100% unfair how society looks down on men that want to stay home with the kids, right? Like, they just assume that the mother is going to be the stay at home if someone can't even stay home. Cause God knows, I don't know how people do it on a one income household anymore, at least not in Chicago. I don't think that that's physically possible unless you just like make a lot of money. But I will say that's unfair. And for those men that do decide to stay at home, I give them a lot of credit because they're really, really ahead of their time even still. And I'm sure that they have to deal with a lot of, you know, judgments and from like peers and a lot of scrutiny that's completely unnecessary. And we should be applauding them and not scrutinizing them. You know, my dream would be like one day, this is like my ideal world. Like one day you have a kid with your significant other and you're like, okay, do we want to have one person stay home? We do. Okay. Then which of us should? And it's like a discussion. And that's totally normal. And it could literally be the man or the woman. And like either one is very acceptable, not only within the relationship, but also in society. Like that's my perfect world. But amazing that stay-at-home phenomenon is even happening. Like that's awesome. And keep doing what you're doing. That's great. Paternal involvement has increased as dads now spend 3 times as much time with their children as dads did 2 generations ago. And a majority of millennial dads view being a good dad as a priority in their identity, which is amazing, right? Like that's really good news because millennial dads believe equally sharing parenting duties and housework is important, which like, what? Like, let me repeat that. Millennial dads believe equally sharing parenting duties and housework is important. I love that sentence. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, my ladies still carry the brunt of this, but dads now average 30 minutes more than their dads did handling housework each day. And, you know, a lot could be done in 30 minutes. I mean, maybe we should like spend a little bit more time because that's not, you know, 30 minutes. But that's still like, it's an increase and like, good for you because you should be pitching in because you're probably both working and it's a lot to put on women. So thank you for stepping up. And you know what, this is all really good news for me as somebody, as I look ahead, I look past my wedding and I look into potentially starting a family. And I'm already starting to feel the discrepancies between parental expectations. Like you still hear the phrase like dad is babysitting all the time. Like he's not babysitting. Like those are his children. He is caring for his children. He's not babysitting. He's getting paid. Is he getting an hourly wage that you would like pay the neighborhood girl? No, then he's not babysitting. Like, that's his job. That is actually his job. And we still assume the female is going to take the majority of the childbearing roles or childcare roles. Like, for instance, when my mom was in town, we had this conversation about traveling. And like, she's like, well, you know, like when you, after you have a kid, like you're not going to travel for at least 5 years. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? I was like, that's not happening. I didn't wait till almost 40 years old to try to have a kid to just like put my whole life in a halt. And she's like, well, you know, you talk about how you want to come on these trips with just me, and you're not going to leave Christian, quote unquote, alone with the baby. And I was like, why not? I mean, why would I not leave the father alone with our child that he helped create and help raise? I mean, we're partners and we're going to be doing this together. And it was clear to me, I mean, it's not her fault, right? It's clear to me that it was a generational viewpoint difference, right? And she probably thinks I'm just like naive. And it's like one of those, like when you have kids, you'll understand. But Christian and I have approached everything in our relationship as partners. And the only time, honestly, that things tend to fall more on me is because I probably just proactively take it upon myself and do it. And it's not because he's not willing to, or he's not, you know, willing to take it on or help me. So if we are blessed to have a child, we won't really have a choice but to share responsibilities. I mean, we both work full time. We both have hobbies and friends and goals outside of our work that we're very supportive in each other. And I'm sure that, you know, we'll have some like ridiculous calendar situation to like split up duties, and we'll need almost like a project manager to help us figure that shit out. But we're going to make it work. It's like a modern millennial couple that we are. I will say, I actually had a really good example of parental partnership growing up, and would say that my dad was really ahead of his time. Like, as I was reading about millennial dads, I was like, wow, this actually kind of sounds like my dad, who obviously is not a millennial, because that would be physically impossible. You know, I would equate him to those millennial fathers that we just talked about way more than to his boomer counterparts, because, you know, he was never the like 9-to-5 barely around dad that's like portrayed in those like past households, right? And both my mom and my dad worked, and so they shared responsibilities. And my dad really thrived in this space. And, you know, I remember many nights when my dad would cook dinner for us, though his specialty was passed down from his mom, which I actually like just learned. I didn't realize that's where he got it from. But he would make like a new recipe based on just like the most random leftover ingredients in the house. And I will say it really is a skill. I remember this one time he took leftover potato skins, like imagine like the appetizer version from TGI Fridays. And he made this like amazing breakfast casserole with them the next morning. I mean, genius, right? So he would just, whatever was in the house would like somehow put it together and like make a really good dinner out of it. I think there was only one time where I was like, I'm not eating that. Which, like, listen, I also make things that sometimes I'm like, that was a miss. But for the most part, like, he was an awesome cook and he cooked a lot for us. He would also come to our sporting events, even like my cheerleading competitions, which if you've never been to a cheerleading competition, let me paint this picture for you. You have to first meet the team so all of the moms can like do the hair and makeup together for the girls. So because all of your hair and makeup has to be the exact same, because you actually get points deducted if it's different. Like if one girl came in a ponytail and the rest had it in like a half ponytail, I'm not even kidding you, like that would be point deductions in a competition. So it had to be exact. So we would get together and do it to make sure and double check before we get to the competition. And then the competition would usually start early, let's say around 9. Although honestly, I don't remember what time they would start, but it was like early in the day. So at like the crack of dawn, you're driving your daughter to get her hair and makeup done. And by the time you get to the competition, you already have a headache from breathing in Aquanet for the past 3 hours. Okay. And then your headache continues as you're in a gymnasium for 8 hours surrounded by young cheerleaders practicing and performing to like blaring music over shitty gymnasium speakers and parents chatting away the entire time. And maybe you get a slight reprieve during a lunch break where you can feast on something like a hot dog, a bag of chips, and a Coke from Sam's Club, and then you go straight back to the competition. And then imagine the stands are filled with moms just judging each other and gossiping. And then there's my dad, right in the middle of it. Let me tell you, those moms loved that a dad would come. So I'm sure he at least got plenty of attention from them. But needless to say, there is no way he enjoyed spending the whole day in a hot gymnasium waiting for me to perform for like 5 minutes and then having to wait another couple hours for the award ceremony, all on a weekend that he earned a weekend off after working all week and had to do that. That's how he spent his day. So thankless job for sure. But that was my dad. Like, he was present. And after the divorce, he would always make me feel special. Like, we had our date nights when I was like a teenager, where we would go to Hot Ticks, which for those of you that are not familiar, it's like this discount ticket. Well, at the time it was a window, because that was like when computers were kind of like, there's definitely no smartphones. But it was a ticket window that you actually go and you can get last minute tickets to like plays or concerts at a discount. So we would go to dinner and then we would go to a show or go to a museum or whatever. And we would call it our date night, and it felt special. And we got to experience so much together that way. And I really look forward to those times. Or one of my favorites was he would take me shopping, and not even to like buy me things. It's actually really sweet, but just so that I could try on beautiful gowns and play dress up. So what if this lasted through high school? Like, don't judge me. Like, yes, maybe I kept doing that through high school, and maybe sometimes I still do it, like whatever, but I loved it. And I mean, a father that would spend 3 hours in a Macy's so his daughter could try on dresses that they're never even going to purchase should get a medal. I don't even know if I could do that now, even if I needed to buy a dress. I think like no more than 1.5 hours, right? Like, that's it. 1.5 hours. And I am toast when I go clothes shopping, because that shit's exhausted, right? And I didn't know any of my friends growing up that spent so much quality time with their dads. And I felt really lucky then, and I do now. And I am proud to say that I don't have daddy issues, and I owe that to him, because the father being present does matter, right? Like, it makes a difference. And he understood that way ahead of his time and way ahead of most of his generation. And it thrills me that the millennial men of our generation are really starting to play that out at a greater scale. So happy Father's Day to all those dads out there that are present, right? To the dads that take on more of a role in the childcare and household duties. To the dads that understand that they're not babysitting, they're caring for their children and they're taking responsibility. To the fathers that are excited for that responsibility and being a present parent. Happy Father's Day, and thank you for being you and for moving the needle forward to a more balanced household and for pushing against social norms. We appreciate you and the example that you're setting for future generations. Until next time.